Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, ready to roll here on a Saturday morning. Thanks to our friends at Insperity. Visit Insperity.com for powerful HR solutions with exceptional follow-through. Welcome aboard, folks. Yours truly, Will Doctor, taking you through the program today as the great Charlie Epps is down in Argentina, reuniting with 2009 Masters champion Angel Cabrera. Charlie coached Angel to not only a green jacket, but also was with Angel when he won the 2007 U.S. Open at Oakmont. And when you think of some of the greatest player-coach duos of all time, you think of Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan, you think of A.J. Hinch and Jose Altuve, you think of Andre Agassi and Brad Gilbert, you think of Custy Amato and Mike Tyson, and you also think of Charlie Epps and Angel Cabrera. Now, Charlie has already addressed the issues Angel has faced over the last 3 years, so I don't need to riddle you that. The bottom line is I'm fired up about the idea of seeing Cabrera and Epps back on the range together at Augusta in April. And from what Charlie has explained to me, Augusta will need to approve of Angel returning to the golf course as a member and returning to compete in the tournament. But, you know, Augusta has a history of forgiving and forgetting, so I don't expect to see any delay there. If they didn't, you know, suspend Phil Mickelson from Augusta after last year's firestorm, and if they didn't tell Tiger to take a year off in 2010, I think Angel will be back in the saddle in 2024 as far as his status at Augusta National is concerned. Let's get you up to date as far as the world of golf is concerned. Today we'll discuss the following. We'll begin by reviewing last week's Zozo Championship, which was the fourth of seven fall regular season events. Colin Morikawa won in a six-shot landslide. That was his first win in over 2 years and the sixth win of his PGA Tour career as he lapped the field there at Narashino Country Club in Japan. And that was a really fitting place for Morikawa to break out of his winless streak, being that he is of Japanese heritage. Although he is from California, Morikawa says he always enjoys going and playing in Japan, and he feels that the Japanese fan base is behind him each and every time he tees it up. And you could see that in the crowd that surrounded the 18th green to watch him win on Sunday there in Japan. And Japan has gotten a really great product in the Zozo Championship since it debuted on the PGA Tour in 2020. They had Tiger Woods win that year and what was a win that tied Sam Snead's PGA Tour win record at 82. In 2021, the Zozo had Patrick Cantlay as their champion, where he beat out Justin Thomas and Jon Rahm by a single stroke in what was a dream Sunday as far as the PGA Tour product is concerned. That was the beginning of Cantlay's four-win 2021 season. In 2022, Japan's very own Hideki Matsuyama, he won by five shots, and that happened only a few months after he became the first Japanese man to win a major championship at the 2021 Masters. And last year, you had Keegan Bradley win the Zozo, and it was the start of a great year for Keegan. This is a guy who, you know, looking back, Zach Johnson might have liked to have on the Ryder Cup team. He had, you know, zero players on that team with any sort of chutzpah, zero players on that team with any sort of passion about competing for the United States on a global scale. And you know veterans like Keegan Bradley would have embraced that opportunity a little bit more. And the point is, Keegan won the Zozo this time last year, and had himself a little renaissance season as he would go on to win the Travelers later in the spring. And then for this year's Zozo, you had two-time major champion in Colin Morikawa win for the sixth time on tour at just 26 years old. And in case you aren't catching on to the trend that I'm talking about, every player who has won the Zozo in the past 4 years has gone on to have a great season. You know, Tiger had just won the 19 Masters when he won the Zozo. Cantlay's Zozo victory was part of a four-win season. You know, Hideki took home the green jacket in 2021 and then 6 months later won the Zozo. Keegan had a comeback year last season after his win at the Zozo, and now we have Colin Morikawa back in the winner's circle, so it only seems right that we do some 2024 major championship futures today and get you up to date on my feel of this year's majors. Yes, I think Morikawa is going to be a factor. Yes, I think Victor Hovland is going to come off his breakout season and win a major next year. Yes, I think Justin Thomas will round back into form in the spring. So we will do some major championship preview a little bit later on. I also get you up to date on the latest as far as the PGA Tour Saudi agreement is concerned. You know, everyone jumped on their high horse about a merger when Jay Monahan and Yasser Al-Ruhman got on CNBC and said these two parties were going to drop their grievances and merge as one. Well, between the U.S. government's involvements, between operational disagreements, between LIV not getting official world golf rankings, the PGA Tour and the Saudis are far, far away from a deal. The deadline to have this agreement signed, sealed, and delivered is December 31st. They will need to push that back. Now, if you're the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour right now, you are praying this deal goes through and you receive the $13 billion investment from the PIF. LIV would get a few fall events and you would see a little bit more of a global PGA Tour and everyone would be happily paid. But if you're the PGA Tour and the DP World Tour, and the U.S. government does not allow this to go through, you're in a world of trouble because Jay Monahan has sat there all year long. Commissioner Jay Monahan has sat there all year long and told players who remained loyal to the tour that they were going to come out of the other side of this on top. And if this agreement doesn't go through, you will have some of those once loyal players leave the PGA Tour and go get the money they could have taken a year ago. Am I sold on LIV's product? Absolutely not. In their second tour championship last week in Miami, there was only 24,000 fans watching in the 18 to 49 age demographic. That's embarrassing. But the Saudis are the ones with the time and money. They can sit there all day and wait and listen to the PGA Tour and the U.S. government go on and on about operations, about this war going on, about this and about that. But just like the Saudis sat there for 20 years waiting to nationalize their oil and buy out Aramco from the United States, they will use the exact same tactics when it comes to dealing with the suits at the PGA Tour. Now, another announcement in the world of golf as far as the strategic alliance is concerned. The DP World Tour, formerly known as the European Tour, announced this week that PGA Tour members who finished between 126 and 150 at the end of the fall will have the option to obtain full membership on the DP World Tour next year. Typically, after a PGA Tour season, if you finish outside of the top 150, you lose your job. And the deal a couple months ago, and still the deal, is those who finish between 51st and 125th in the fall series will maintain full status on the PGA Tour, and those who finish between 125 and 200 would drop back down to the Korn Ferry Tour. That was the original agreement. Now, if you are one of those who finishes between 126 and 200, you have the option to go to Europe instead of playing on the AAA Tour, the Korn Ferry Tour. You have the option to go play a full season in Europe if the fall does not go well on the PGA Tour. And I think this is spectacular news in the world of golf because we have to get more American talent that is not on the PGA Tour. We need some of that talent to strengthen the action over in Europe. I give you updates each and every week on the DP World Tour. I'm sitting here watching the Qatar Masters right now. Robert McIntyre, Ryder Cupper, he's one shot back of the lead, you know, at the Qatar Masters. But it would be nice for Barney at the Bar to have a few more familiar names in the European Tour fields every week. It's been a long time since Thursday, Friday, and Saturday were an entertaining product on the European circuit. And their ratings have shown. 20 years ago, the Nick Faldos, the Seve Ballesteros of the world would play the European Tour and only come across the pond for the majors. Now, if you are a star player coming out of Europe, like Ludvig Åberg, the superstar out of Tech from Sweden, he's not heading straight for the European Tour. Guys like Rory and Rahm, they're playing the majority of their season in the United States. Now, in my opinion, there's over 2,000 American pro golfers that have the ability to compete on the PGA Tour. You go out to a mini tour golf event in the United States, and 25 to 27 under is the winning score over a 3-day event. These are guys without status on any tour. There is a crazy amount of golf talent in this country, and the fact is there's really only 125 spots on the PGA Tour. So I think this is a positive. I think the DP World Tour inviting players outside the top 125 but inside the top 200 on the PGA Tour to come play and try to get their cards back, I think that's a great idea. And once again, if you finish top 10 on the European Tour at the end of the year, you get to come back to the PGA Tour. The top 10 players on the DP World Tour Order of Merit will earn their PGA Tour cards. If Barney at the Bar takes a look at the PGA Tour rankings with four events left in the fall, and he looks who's between 126 and 150, you see Cam Champ, you see Jimmy Walker, you see Cody Gribble, you see Jason Duffner, CT Pan. You got some bigger names there. All right, we'll be back. We'll talk about some golf films right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Hey, business owners, have you ever felt like the walls are closing in, that the obstacles to growing your business are overwhelming? We all know running a business comes with pressure, remote workforces, HR compliance, keeping your top employees. There's no wonder that you start to feel a little bit boxed in, but luckily, you don't have to do it alone. Fortunately, there's Insperity. They put 30-plus years of experience to work helping you with your human resources, from hiring and training to HR admin and compliance. Add in competitive benefit options for your employees, and you've expanded your HR capabilities. With Insperity lightening your HR load, you can focus on growing your business, surrounded by employees who are empowered to be their best. Don't let the obstacles keep you from realizing your full potential. Get the relief you need from an HR company that puts you and your employees on a path to success, because with Insperity, nothing seems impossible. Once again, visit Insperity.com to check out all of their full service HR solutions. All right, let's do some housekeeping as far as the upcoming golf films are concerned. Starting with Netflix Full Swing Season 2, that's in the production phases, so I know everyone will be fired up about that after the success that season one had. Full Swing has had a massive impact on the game, as the National Golf Foundation reported that a record 3.3 million people played golf for the first time last year. 45% of those beginners are more likely to be non-white, and 35% are more likely to be female. And these numbers are a direct result of how well-produced Full Swing was. Credit to Chad Mumm, the executive producer. Had him on the show this time last year. You had the PGA Tour Live drama play right into season one, as you got a great feel from Live guys like Brooks Koepka and Joachim Niemann on what went into the decision of going to the rival tour. And we'll get executive producer Chad Munn back on the show. I gave season one an A-, which is a very good grade. You know, Netflix is putting out a ton of junk right now, a ton of poorly produced junk. I thought the Manziel documentary was an absolute joke, as, you know, the only sources in the film were Johnny's dad, some clown that managed Johnny's autograph side hustle in college, and Johnny's pro agent, who, you know, all extremely tough to listen to. The only trustable source in the Johnny Manziel doc was Cliff Kingsbury, but the rest of the sources were shockingly bad. I almost turned it off when I heard Johnny's dad say that it was Kevin Sumlin's fault that Johnny was out of control at A&M. What a joke. But that explains why Kevin Sumlin didn't do a sit-down interview for the Johnny documentary. And yeah, I don't know how you do a Johnny football documentary and not get Mike Evans or Kevin Sumlin to speak. They missed an entire side of the story there. And anyways, it's not just the Johnny doc that has been a lackluster Netflix sports production. Breakpoint, the, you know, tennis Netflix, they told some great stories there with Nick Kyrgios and Felix Aguilar, but you could tell it was cheaply produced with the lack of depth on most subjects. I thought they did not dive deep enough into that Taylor Fritz story. You know, the Florida Gator Netflix was horrible, but Golf's Full Swing was the best produced sports film of last year. In the last 2 years, I would put Beckham at number one. I'd put Full Swing at number two. And the only reason I give Full Swing an A- instead of an A or an A+ is simply because of the order of episodes. I think episode one should have been Joel Dahman or the rookie Sahith Theegala, because those are personalities that the audience can relate to. Carl in the clubhouse can 100% relate to Joel Dahman putting down three White Claws at the turn. What the audience can't relate to is Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas on a private jet playing $1,000 hands of blackjack. And that's what episode one was. The reality is only the top 10 players in the world are flying private every week. Maybe the top 50 have some sort of net jets or wheels up deal, where they can get a couple free lifts a year. Outside of that, the other 99% of pro golfers are hopping on or are in the exit row or middle seat on Southwest Airlines. To me, to start episode one with JT and Spieth on a private jet was very cringy and really doesn't illustrate what professional golf is all about. They should have started with more of the blue-collar player in Joel Dahman, or the come-from-nothing story in Joaquin Niemann, and then work their way into what the best golfers in the world are doing and how they get around. You go journeyman, you go rookies, you go superstars. I think that's a good order. But to Chad Mum's defense, if you start the whole series with Joel Dahman, you run the risk of your non-golf fan turning it off right out of the gate because they have no clue who Joel Dahman is. Mike, you know who Joel Dahman is?
I don't, to be honest.
That's the issue you have with starting golf's Netflix off with that. I would say maybe 35% of the sports world knows who Joel Dahman is. Listen, if I saw Joel Dahman, no bucket hat, walking through the grocery store, I'm not sure I'd pick him out.
I did watch the show, though.
You did? Do you enjoy it?
I started it off. I know who Brooks Koepka stuff and that is and all stuff like that. So give me those and I'm interested.
What was your feel on when you first started episode one, seeing two golfers in a private jet? What was your feel there?
Well, I'm coming from an F1 background. I'm huge into F1.
Okay.
I've been into F1 for years before even the Drive to Survive show came out on Netflix.
Well, it's funny you say that because there's another golf production that Netflix will air live on November 14th, which will be an 8-hole tournament that will feature 4 PGA Tour pros and 4 Formula One drivers. Okay, you'll have 8 teams comprised of 1 pro and 1 F1 driver. The best 2 teams after 8 holes will advance to a winner-take-all 9th hole. Now, Mike, I'm not an F1 guy. I am aware that Drive to Survive has led the charts as far as sports docs are concerned of the last 5 years. But here's my issue with the golf side of this. Then I want your take on the F1. The golfers playing are Ricky Fowler, Max Homa, Colin Morikawa, and Justin Thomas. Those, to me, are not the stars of the game. You don't have Jordan Spieth there. You don't have John Rahm. What, Tiger Woods can't come play 8 holes? What's that about? No Phil Mickelson. When you look at the list of – so I'm not an F1 guy. Mike, when you look at the list of the F1 guys, are those the best drivers in the game?
Okay, I'll put Lando Norris as one of the best. He's up there. Carlos Sainz drives for Ferrari. You need to have Ferrari in there somehow.
Okay.
Pierre Gasly and Alex Albon, I mean, they're pretty much mid-tier drivers. So if you want to replace those, you can put the champion Max Verstappen, or you can put Lewis Hamilton in there.
So those are the two guys that I know. And to me, if you're going to do this, why not just have Tiger Woods and Phil go against Verstappen and Hamilton? You know, let's just simple it down. You know, how about, you know, I just feel like there's some better ways to do this. We'll see how it goes. Excel Sports and Full Day Productions is going to produce this. So we'll try to get Connor Schell or David Chamberlain on the show.
Is that going to be live?
It'll be live.
On Netflix.
On Netflix, November 14th. 8 holes, and after 8 holes, the two best groups, once again, I don't know the teams. Let's say the ninth hole could be Justin Thomas and Pierre Gasly against Max Homa and Lando Norris. You know, it'll be kind of a process of elimination type format. We'll get one of the producers, Connor Schell or David Chamberlain, on the show. Those are the two brains behind this. Same two guys that do the ESPYs and the Oscar red carpet show and the NFL honors. So they obviously have a feel of what's going on. Once again, you know, on the golf side of this, Fowler, Homa, Morikawa, Justin Thomas, they got an okay bunch to do this. They got an okay bunch. Where is Rahm? Where is Rory? Where is Tiger? Oh, Tiger can't play 9 holes. Phil doesn't want some F1 side action. I figured, you know, for this to work, you need the two biggest names in the game, which is still Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson. Morikawa and Justin Thomas, yes, both two-time major winners, both young presences in the game. They will elevate the Netflix product, but Fowler and Homa, I understand they're fan favorites, but at some point you have to win majors, and they have not. They have not. And if I was Netflix, I would aim to make this a production that people will still want to watch 20 years from now. And I think you would have a better chance at that. If you needed 4 golfers and you want people to watch this 20 years down the road, you take Tiger Woods, you take Phil Mickelson, you take Brooks Koepka, and you take John Rahm. On the other side, I'll go through some other celebrity matches that I would want to see. We also have to do our 2024 major futures picks, and I'll tell you about a Korn Ferry Tour gambling suspension later on. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
And before we keep rolling on the golf, a break to tell you about my friends over at King Ranch Ag and Turf. Tom and Adam Blumovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you are a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment, solution, and full service support that you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, one of their partners is Houston Country Club. They partner with Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club and course in Texas, according to Golf Week and Golf Digest, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. King Ranch Ag and Turf is everywhere, and no matter your situation, King Ranch Ag and Turf has the deal that you need. Newer pre-owned equipment, parts, service, flexible payment plans, they have it all. Houston Spring, Jersey Village, League City, Katy, Southwest Houston, Angleton, Hockley, and Conroe. Go see them one of their 9 locations and visit their website at kingranchagturf.com to check out any special deals at King Ranch Ag and Turf. They have a ton going on right now. like their fall 2023 end of year closeout sale. Go check it out and turn them. You tell them you heard it right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Once again, that is King Ranch Ag and Turf. We left off discussing this golf and F1 Netflix. Our producer Mike Hernandez behind the ones and twos informed me that the first ever F1 race in Vegas will take place that weekend, the weekend after November 14th, you know, just a couple days after this match. So obviously that's a good tie-in there with the F1 event out in Vegas. I still don't know on, you know, on the golf end of things, how they pick these four golfers, where's Tiger, where's Phil, and I don't know on the F1 side of things where Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton's are. I figured you need the biggest stars of the game if you want to do 100 million views here. You know, where are they? And listen, I just read, maybe, I don't know if Lewis Hamilton plays golf or not. I don't know if Max Verstappen plays golf or not. Listen,
I don't think they do.
Yeah, well, Kevin Costner didn't play golf, you know, a year before they made Tin Cup. And the producer hired Butch Harmon, some coach, and, you know, in 8 months' time, Kevin Costner's golf swing looked like he should be on the PGA Tour. My point is, you know, they had Tom Brady do some of these matches, Aaron Rodgers. Those guys hit it all over the place. It's not really about the golf. It's about the entertainment. You know, you'd be better off doing, you know, Tiger and Phil versus, you know, Michael Jordan and Steph Curry live on Netflix. You'd have 100 million watching that. You'd be better off doing Ricky Fowler and Max Homa versus Verstappen and Hamilton. I think that would do a lot of views. I think what would do more views, I think you'd have 100 million people who would watch Dustin Johnson and Pauline Gretzky face off against Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift in an 18-hole match. The bottom line is you need entertainers. And I don't know if Morikawa, JT, Homa, and Fowler against this group of drivers, I don't know how that's going to turn out. I have my doubts. Once again, it is a cool. It's a finding out that there is an F1 race in Vegas just a couple days after this. That is that I think that will bring an audience 100%. Let's move on to previewing some of these 2024 major championships. I'll give you some futures odds to consider as we discuss each of the four. The Masters will lead the way in mid-April. The PGA Championship at Valhalla will take place a month later. What an epic venue Valhalla is. We'll talk about some of the historic tournaments that took place at Valhalla. The U.S. Open will be third in mid-June at Pinehurst, and we could go all day talking about the battles that have gone down at Pinehurst. Payne Stewart winning the U.S. Open there in 99, 2 months before his life-ending plane crash. Michael Campbell taking down Tiger Woods in 2005, Martin Keimer in 2014. Pinehurst has been witness to some of the best moments in golf, so we'll get to that. And then Royal Troon will host its 10th Open Championship for the final major of 2024 towards the end of July. Now, before we get into some futures and details about next year's majors, let's do a little review of what we saw at the majors last year. I thought three of the four majors were entertaining golf tournaments. I thought the 2023 Masters was an absolute movie with the amateur Sam Bennett in the mix after two rounds at Augusta. You know, Saturday was rained out, but to begin the 36-hole marathon on Sunday, you had Brooks Koepka, John Rahm, and Sam Bennett in the final pairing. And that was a perfect storm because Koepka was trying to prove that he didn't, you know, that he wasn't packing in his career after going to live. You had the USAM champ in Texas Aggie out of Madisonville, Texas, and Sam Bennett come from no man's land and found himself at the top of the leaderboard at the halfway point at Augusta. And then you had John Rahm attempting to become the first European to win a U.S. Open and a green jacket, and Rahm was the eventual victor. Now, I was not at Augusta, but what a week that was for me. I did the show Saturday morning. I booked it to New Braunfels for my best friend Julian's engagement ceremony with the fellas, and that all worked out nicely because the Masters was rained out on Saturday. I could enjoy the engagement party without having to look at a TV every 5 seconds. So then we get to Sunday, and you know, Sunday was a headache, as you can imagine, after any engagement festivities. I get back to Houston Sunday around 10 a.m. I turn on CBS to watch my guy Jim Nance open Masters Sunday, a tradition unlike any other. And as soon as I sink into the couch, I get a call from Sean Martin, the editor at the PGA Tour Media Department. And he says, "Will, get your rear end to College Station. You're going to begin covering Sam Bennett's return to Aggieland as soon as he lands at Eastwood Airport." And so, you know, as soon as I'm off the phone with Sean, I have a little one-minute Sunday Scaries panic attack, and then I was ready to roll. And Sam was incredibly gracious with his time after an exhausting week at Augusta to go from a kid in Madisonville to handling a lead at Augusta is a tall order. And he handled it beautifully. That's why you're going to be watching him on the PGA Tour next year. And I think that's what I'm going to remember most about last year's Masters. It was a joy to watch John Rahm become the fourth Spaniard to split to put on the green jacket. But what I will remember about the 23 Masters will 100% be the story of Sam Bennett. Now, last year's PGA Championship was another textbook major championship. Oak Hill will always be one of the historic major championship venues. Trevino, Nicholas, Strange, Duffner, all these legends wanted Oak Hill. And it was fitting for Brooks Koepka to join that bunch with his fifth major championship of his career. He took down Hovland, Victor Hovland, which looks even more impressive now after the end-of-season tear that Hovland went on. And then the other notable storyline from that week was the emergence of PGA professional Michael Block. I know that CBS had to cover the Block story religiously, being that he is a PGA professional, and you know the growth of the game would not be possible without the men and women who you know teach and work at golf clubs around the country. But let me tell you, CBS spent a ton of time on a player in Michael Block who shot even one over in a tournament where 9 under par won. That's something that I remember. A little too much time with Block, but you know, a little too much time with Block and not enough down the stretch on, you know, Rory's collapse. Koepka's back in the winner's circle. I think they missed the point a little bit there as far as the PGA Championship was concerned last year. Last year's U.S. Open at Los Angeles Country Club was the worst major of 2023. To have a U.S. Open at a club so private where over 45% of the tickets are sold to corporate America and another large fraction of the tickets were sold to membership is an absolute joke. Out of 22,000 tickets sold every day, over half of those tickets went to corporate suites, skyboxes, and other private club-type tickets. Over half. How do you live with yourself if you're the USGA hosting a U.S. Open in inner-city Los Angeles, an excellent spot to bring the game together, and you sell over 50% of your tickets to corporate America? That's problem number one. Problem number two was the fact that Rory McIlroy nor Ricky Fowler came away with the victory after playing so well at Los Angeles Country Club. You had Wyndham Clark right there waiting for Rory and Ricky to collapse, which is exactly what they did. And no knock on Wyndham Clark at all. Great player, two-time winner last season, Ryder Cupper. But it was just that mix of an unfamiliar name with an unfamiliar U.S. Open venue that, you know, made me walk away from U.S. Open Sunday with a bad taste in my mouth. I thought Brian Harman's landslide victory at the Open Championship was a surprisingly exciting tournament for one that ended in a blowout. Brian Harman was in total control over the last three rounds and never looked back. I will say when I read European publications, they all talk about how underwhelming Liverpool was after what culminated at the 2022 Open with Cam Smith firing a back 9-30 on Sunday to beat Rory McIlroy at St. Andrews. I can't argue with that. You know that the 22 Open was one of the best. That was a tough one to top, but nonetheless, 36-year-old Brian Harman winning his first major was a nice way to close out the 2023 Major Championship season. On the other side, I'll give you some futures picks for the 2024 Majors. We'll be right back here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
All right, before we get to the golf, let me tell you about my friends at Remind Support. Hi, this is Will Doctor, and if you're struggling with depression or bipolar disorder, Remind Support offers free, confidential, and safe support groups in the Houston area for those living with an illness that has devastated millions worldwide. Whether you're someone that prefers virtual medicine or someone that prefers face-to-face interaction, Remind accommodates either option. Groups meet online or at a location around an area with a licensed mental health professional leading the way. These groups are filled with comfort, hope, and social support with peers. There is no cost to attend, and finding your class is simple. Visit remindsupport.org and type in your zip code to find a location near you or sign up for an online class at a day and time that is most convenient for your schedule. No one should have to suffer in their mental health alone, but with Remind Support, free support is here for you. Once again, go to www.remindsupport.org. Once again, it's www.remindsupport.org. Let's jump back into these majors. Let's do some futures for the 2024 major championship, starting with the Masters. And I like Victor Hovland at 14-1, and I like Sepp Straka at 200-1. Both tickets can be found on DraftKings. Number one with Victor Hovland and Augusta. You know, Victor won three times in the last 3 months of the season and just wiped the floor with the Americans at the Ryder Cup. When you think about Victor Hovland a year ago, he was someone who, you know, who had only won some of the smaller scale PGA Tour events. He had some issues with the short game, but in a matter of 3 months, he went from 172nd, pretty much dead last on tour, all the way to 84th on the PGA Tour and strokes gained around the greens. That is a massive leap, and it was fueled by the work he's done with short game guru Joseph Mayo. And you add in the fact that he does not miss from tee to green, I would say Victor Hovland at 14-1 is the best option for the Masters right now. Now, futures option number two for the Masters, which this is a little bit more of a sleeper, and that would be Sepp Straka at 200-1. But if I covered his name up, I know what you're thinking. What are you, crazy? Sepp Straka, 200-1. If I covered his name up and told you that Player X at 200-1 is a two-time PGA Tour winner, finished second at the final major of the year at the Open, and played in the Ryder Cup, you would take it all day, wouldn't you? Sepp Straka at 200-1. And Straka had an awesome finish to last year with a win at the John Deere and then finishing second at Royal Liverpool a week later. Had Brian Harman not run away with it, Austria could have had their first major champion in Sepp Straka. He's played in the Masters twice, you know, made the cut both times. Don't let me forget, the Open last year was not Straka's only top 10 in the major last year. He finished seventh at the PGA Championship as well. I think at 30 years old, Sepp Straka is at the perfect point in his career to win a green jacket right now, right down the road from his alma mater at UGA. So that's my feel on the Masters. Hovland 14-1, Straka at 200-1. On to the PGA, which will happen about a month after the Masters at Valhalla in Kentucky, which has hosted some of the most theatrical majors of all time. You know, Tiger won the 2000 PGA there in an epic playoff against the journeyman Bob May. That was Tiger's fifth major title and his third of the historic Tiger Slam. Tiger won the 2000 PGA at Valhalla, the 2000 U.S. Open at Pebble, the 2000 Open at St. Andrews, and then won the 2001 Masters all in a row. But back to Valhalla, the Americans won the Ryder Cup at Valhalla in 2008. And then in the last major Valhalla hosted 10 years ago, Rory came from behind on Sunday to beat Phil Mickelson by one at the 2014 PGA. Now, as far as the picks for the PGA, you know, players like Rory McIlroy at 10-1 and Justin Thomas at 35-1 will be the most spotlighted individuals going into this PGA. Rory, because he's the defending champion as far as PGAs at Valhalla. The pre-tournament hype on Rory will be much like the press he received at Liverpool, as everyone thought he was going to break out of his major championship slump there at Liverpool, where he won the 2014 Open. And JT is going to have the world on his shoulders at this year's PGA because he's a Kentucky native and a two-time PGA champion. So while, you know, Barney at the bar and everyone else putting all their money on Rory and JT, my eyes are on Brooks Koepka. I think 12-1 is a fantastic number for the true defending champion. And I am shocked that the books are favoring Scheffler, Rahm, and Rory over Koepka at Valhalla. I think Koepka should be the tournament favorite at this point in time. And I also really like Sahith Theegala at 80-1 over on DraftKings for the PGA. For the PGA. Theegala just won his first PGA Tour event at the Fortinet Championship in Napa. That happened at the beginning of the fall. He's a 25-year-old out of Pepperdine who is just a fantastic striker of the golf ball. He's ranked 15th on the PGA Tour in putting. I've been watching Theegala since he got his card two seasons ago, and I'll tell you, I saw him put on some putting performances in 2023 that really impressed me. He also qualified, well, he almost qualified for the Tour Championship by finishing 13th and 15th in the opening playoff events, rolled it great at Olympia Fields, rolled it great at TPC Southwind. Then he made a ton of putts en route to his win in Napa and just finished 19th in Japan last week. Sahith Theegala, one of the most exciting young players in the game. So my two futures for the PGA will be Koepka to defend at 12-1 and Sahith Theegala at 80-1. This year's U.S. Open, the third major of the year, this one will be in the runnings for the best major of the year because Pinehurst number 2 in North Carolina has hosted 3 U.S. Opens and 2 U.S. Amateurs. It is on the Mount Rushmore of championship golf courses in the United States. Martin Keimer won the last U.S. Open here in 2014. He won it in a landslide. But the most notable tournament that Pinehurst number 2 hosted was the 1999 U.S. Open, where Payne Stewart beat Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, and Vijay Singh for his third major championship and his final major that he played before passing away in a plane crash 3 months later. Payne did that legendary fist pump on the 18th green in the Ivy Cap and the plus fours before walking over to a baby Phil Mickelson. He cradled his face and told him he was going to be a great father. And if you don't know that story, Phil Mickelson had his caddy Bones carry a pager in the bag for that entire final round, dueling it against Payne, as Phil's wife Amy was due to go into labor at any moment's time. What a great major that was. I'd have to get Epps' feel on this, but from what I've read, probably the best major of the 90s. We'll get his feel on that when he returns from Argentina. I like Bryson DeChambeau at 35-1 for the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. That really interests me. That's a great number for a guy who really returned to form at the end of last year. I think a lot of people, including myself last year, thought he's just going to become a long driver, and that's going to be that. But he slimmed back down to a proper playing weight. And he finished top 10, I believe, in two of the last majors of last season. Let me confirm on that. But I know Bryson is playing some extremely good golf at the moment. But anyways, we'll come back to that. The Open Championship will be at Royal Troon, obviously home of the postage stamp, home of probably the toughest back nine in the world. Yeah, this is going to bother me. I got to get back to Bryson. Bryson finished fourth at the PGA. He finished 20th at the U.S. Open, and then he won 2 LIV golf events in August. So playing extremely well. I think Bryson at 35-1 at the U.S. Open to Pinehurst, great ticket if you're going to lay a futures right now. And then the Open Championship at Royal Troon, what I was talking about. Definitely the toughest back nine in the world. Rory is not going to be a guy who can survive on the back nine at Troon. Xander Schauffele, another guy who has had ample opportunity to win a bit more often, his game won't hold up on the back nine at Troon. I think Jordan Spieth at 28-1. I think he's your guy for Rolatrun. You talk about the guys who have won there: Arnold Palmer, Weisskopf, Watson, Kalkivecchia, Locke, Hitt, Justin Leonard. Roster full of Americans. It's Spieth 35-1. Hey, great show everyone today. Thanks, Michael Hernandez. Thanks to Insperity HR that makes a difference. We'll talk next week.